Number one, Star Wars. Number two, comics. Number three, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Number four, Mario. Number five, Weird Al. Number six, Batman. Number seven, Kal-El. Number eight, The Simpsons. Number nine, TV. Number ten, every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out. Say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Say nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything.
Say nerds. Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerds Ruin Everything. I'm Logan.
And I'm Adam.
And it's going to be all Marvel, all the time, for this entire episode, unless we, you know, go off on a tangent. So,
yeah.
where does start though? Like, do you want to start with like the absolute bummer ass bad news?
Yeah, let's start with that, just because it really is like, leave it to Marvel to like bury everything, like do everything, like do a lot of right moves and then just decide.
It seemed like for the last, what, four or five days, almost a week straight.
Yeah.
That it's been like, holy shit, they're getting it together. They're going to pull all of this off.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, via its star, that's how I found out. But
yes, through a social media post.
Yeah, Wonder Man, despite being renewed in March for a second season and an Emmy nomination for its star, has now been canceled.
Yep. I'm blaming the new CEO who has his head up as so far up his ass. He looks like Earl Burroughs, the fucking snake eating itself, except for it's his ass eating himself. Because like there's no other explanation, because in March everything was fine, and that was before he got on.
It
and
now was all of a sudden, Emmy nominated. Yeah, I mean,
it became that one of the
happen with a lot of Marvel shows.
That doesn't happen with any Marvel shows. Like, and I'm not talking like tech stuff. Yeah, of course, tech sometimes, but even the tech stuff has been like shitty since its inception, except for maybe Loki. And even then, first season of Loki had some questionable special effects. I mean, it's like, and it also did numbers. It finally, yeah. it like at the end of the day, they said that it did numbers. It did better than everything except for Loki, which, okay, like if it did better than everything, even during pandemic, like that should give you pause that maybe we liked this thing that you're gonna take away from us. Okay, I mean, like other than maybe I'm thinking that it's possibly the cost is where it's coming down to.
So, I don't want to knock Sir Ben Kingsley, but As wonderful as he is, the man has not ever been above taking a job for a paycheck.
No.
Or like, oh, I get to go on vacation here and do 3 days worth of work and for this shitty movie. Okay. Like it's been done. So I can only like maybe Yahya Abdul-Mateen's cost went up. I mean, certainly this dude is a rising star.
Yeah.
Like he's not quite a star yet, but like,
but
he's
also,
he's getting there.
But like, exactly. But also like, is it that maybe Dustin Daniel Cretton and the writers room wrote?
So I was going to bring that up too. Like, so the writers' room was never assembled for season two, despite the renewal.
Yeah.
So after we'll get to like what's up with Mr. Cretton soon, but yeah, with everything he's currently got going on, do you think that the season two pickup, he was just like, guys, I don't have an idea for season two?
It could be, but why wasn't it just, well, why don't we hold for, like, because, like, all things Marvel, it usually takes about 5 years for things to come around. I mean, so that's
I have a little theory about that.
Okay. All right.
With all the acclaim coming out, do you think that the quote renewal was a ploy
to get it nominated?
Yeah. So that it, because I feel like if you just cancel it off the rip, then a lot of, despite critical talk, a lot of the like possibility of awards goes away because you're just seen as like, it's like, well, they're never going to do anything with it again. Sure, it was great, but like, let's not give it any more press because it is a one and done thing.
I mean, that could very, very, very well be the case. Like, you know, like it was never meant to be a renewal, that it was like a renewal in name only. And they weren't going to do anything other than, like, even if they did assemble a writer's room, like, they knew, like, the thing was that in March, Dustal Daniel Cretton was deep into completing Spider-Man Brand New Day. So there was no way that he was going to be able to do anything until after the press tour, which is not until sometime in September. Like, literally, like, so there's 6 months. There's a 6 month lead in where they can just go, you know what? We're just going to.
And you have to have these actors, like, on at least retainer, right?
Yeah.
Like, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, like, quickly rising star. Like, we'll see how this movie he's got coming up does, but, like, that trailer plays, man. And it's the kind of movie that you can get, like, a wide audience for. As long as it doesn't completely suck, because it's ticking a lot of boxes, right? Like,
it's
action heavy. It's got this wise ass mentality to it. It's kind of based in reality, and you know, it's got this revenge thing and the whole race aspect of it. You know, like
exactly.
It could really, really play and launch this dude into the stratosphere.
No,
which would absolutely be great. Like, I fucking love this guy. I also really, I just started seeing some posts today. But like literally when it was canceled, the thought I had in my head, and we'll get to the other news here in a second, is Marvel on this, like, we can only have like
one black superhero, one
prominent black superhero.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck, man? Like,
I have no idea, man.
They've had their hands on so many like great black actors.
Yep.
Like, just they're in this universe, man. And you can't seem to figure it the fuck out. Like, despite the fact that one of the most successful movies you had in this current phase is a Black Panther movie, which was good, but, I mean, we can all be honest about it. It wasn't great, and it was still fucking successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is that it was literally a funeral procession. Like, that's all it was a giant funeral procession, and it still made, like, $1.2 billion.
Yes.
Like, that should tell you something. And it's, I don't know, man. Like, I'm, like, you know how I feel about Marvel right now. And they're on, like, especially with this news, this really, it put it down a peg, because I kept on going back to it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck them. Seriously? Like this is fucking, like, you did okay, like, with the whole thing of, like, Black Panther and announcing Black Panther 3, and we're going to get to the David Johnson of it all.
Which now all feels like, oh, this is just Ryan Coogler driving a lot of that, because I'm starting to think if this was actually Disney's Black Panther, that there would be Black Panther and a bunch of white people.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. Because it's just like it, like, I don't know, like it makes me, it colors every single bit of news. Like, every single bit of news. Like, it makes me, and it still makes me, like, I know people are super in the bag for Doomsday. And, I mean, I'll see it opening day, but mostly because we've got a podcast about it and I don't want everything ruined for me. Yeah. Like, but if I had my choice, like, this is real, like, real talk. If I had my choice, I'd probably go see Dune first. Like, that's real talk. That's real talk, because Dune convinced me. Like, Dune is working overtime to convince me that...
That trailer in front of Spider-Man was pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, but the 6 minutes. The 6 minutes is the 7 minutes is, like, you know... That's Warner Brothers up to their old tricks again. Like, I mean, they're the one... Like, they're taking a Nolan fucking... They're taking their book from Nolan again with, like, let's release a couple of minutes of the movie. Like they did with... like Odyssey. They got us all in the bag with Odyssey with that opening, and it wasn't even the opening 6 minutes. They fooled us, right? Because it's like, oh, the opening 6 minutes. But I mean, that doesn't come until super late into the film, the siege at Troy. But anyways, I don't know, man. Like, I'm out. Like, I'm not out, but I'm out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this news just made me go, yeah, fuck you guys. Like, seriously, fuck y'all.
Build up all this goodwill and then quietly cancel, like, one of the best, certainly the best thing they had this year coming into Spider-Man. Like, it was just so widely well-regarded. I hope this isn't the end of Wonder Man in the MCU. I don't know where you could go with that. You know,
they're gonna recast him with Glenn Powell. Let's be honest, fucking assholes. Mean,
and anybody that thinks it's just like, oh, it's just knee jerk, like it's not really some race thing. Like, I mean, maybe it's not, but like, it's hard to look at like all of the possible black lead things that they had in the works or going for them that have now completely fallen by the wayside or that they botched altogether. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, follow the Reese's Pieces, you know what I mean? Like, it just absolutely feels that way. Whether it's intentional or not. I mean, we had three very successful Captain America movies, and the first time we get a black lead as Captain America after he was handed the mantle, they completely botched the fucking movie. Like, I enjoy it, but it's a mess, man. It's just an absolute mess, you know?
Well, and it's... It reeks of studio interference and studio notes, right? Yeah. Like that's the thing with that movie, is that it doesn't, it's nothing of a coherent movie. Same thing with, like, I mean, think about the Marvels and Ms. Marvel. Or Captain Marvel. Like, they do Captain Marvel and it's great. Like, it makes $1 billion. It's fine. It has a couple of issues, but for the most part, it's a solid movie. They do the Marvels and they fuck with it so much, and there's so much studio interference. It's a mess, man. It's a mess.
And two of the leads of that movie are not fucking white.
Exactly. And I just feel like they don't know what they're doing.
Which, like, is why it's important to have Ryan Coogler.
Well, I mean, like, what happens when he leaves after Black Panther 3?
We don't get anything but white superheroes.
Yeah.
Because unless Destin Daniel Cretton is still, you know, hanging around. You're right. He's now pigeonholed into only doing the white people thing.
Yeah, now he, like, they took, like, here's the thing. And this is what really pisses me off, because this is what I've been thinking about all since that, since Yaya posted that. Oh, is this, is you took away, you took Shang-Chi away from him, and you took, now you took Wonder Man away from him, and you just put him into the, like, into the whitest white bread superhero movie.
Unless this is the second series he's had canceled by Disney Plus.
Yes.
Because he also did American Born Chinese.
Yep.
Which I talked about, like, I finally caught up with a few months ago and talked about. It's fucking wonderful. And, like, also not about, you know, white people.
So. Yes. But also, oh, like, but also he, okay, so, like, here's another thing. He had an Avengers, he, okay, so first, Shang-Chi was canceled. Then he had the fucking Avengers movie starring a major black actor. Then the things that happened with now I'm really pissed, because why the fuck are we getting Johnny Depp coming back? Why is Johnny Depp coming back? Huh? Why is Johnny Depp coming back? Like, answer me, like, not you, but I mean, just like I know it's a Paramount movie.
Because he's white, Adam.
Yeah, I know. So like,
although Armie Hammer couldn't fucking buy a hit to save his life.
Well, when you do a fucking Uwe Boll movie, which is the most crass piece of crap movie that you could ever I watched 20 minutes of that movie and had to turn it off.
Yeah, I was tempted to try to watch it, and I was just like, no.
Don't. It is the worst baity, like, crass piece of crap. Like, it makes Death Wish 4, the Crackdown, look like some kind of, it makes it look like a masterpiece. I mean, that's how bad it is. But, like, Dustal Daniel Cretton has had so many things canceled.
Yeah.
That it, like, and I, like, to me personally, like, it feels like Sony probably didn't want him. And Disney was like, well, we have this contract and it's going to save us like $5 million. Because the whole thing was that I guarantee you he has a pay or play deal, which means that if he doesn't direct something, you're giving him that $5 million. And after Shang-Chi, that's what they probably did. That's why they put him on Avengers. That's why they put... Then after the Avengers, that's why they put him on. That's why they put him on Spider-Man. Now, I'm not saying that his Spider-Man movie is bad. We'll get to Spider-Man in a second. But what I am saying is that, like, what the hell? Like, what the hell? Like, I don't know, man. I'm it's going to be interesting what happens when, like I said, when Ryan Coogler just goes, okay, I did my third one, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to do a fourth one.
and I mean, they might get Dustin Daniel Cretton for maybe the next two Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, I can't imagine he's going to stick around. I don't know what his contract states. So, you know, he might be off for greener pastures, because the dude can put stuff together. Like, he is a very good director and an excellent producer and a great writer. So, he could be somewhere else doing not Marvel shit.
Well, you know who probably is looking at him, right? Like, I guarantee you, Universal is looking at him going, he's the guy that we should take next.
Yeah.
Because Universal at this point, like, has the roster of directors that are like, oh, we make movies for theaters. Let it come to us. Like that's the whole thing is like, and now with this Warner Brothers thing in jeopardy also, like, and now it makes sense to me why Warner Brothers was announcing all this stuff. Cause they knew, Warner Brothers knew. Like, just as a side tangent, it has to be pretty funny where Warner Brothers is like, yeah, we ain't getting bought. Let's just start announcing shit because we know. Let's get back into the Coogler business. Let's get everybody back working and cooking because we need to do this. Because come June next year, we're gonna cancel our bid and we're just gonna be a studio again. But I think that he is going to go on to greener pastures. To be perfectly honest,
after this opening, I don't know what could be much greener than this.
I mean, you get a blank check from somebody like Universal. Yeah. You get the Nolan handshake. I mean, that's what people are looking for now. And we already know that, like, you know, we'll get into it. We'll get into it in a second. But why don't we talk, like, since we're already talking about the Milieu, did you have anything more to add about this Wonder Man, no, or do we want to get into the cat?
I'm so bummed about Wonder Man, but yeah, I'm still buoyed by the Comic-Con announcements.
Yeah.
So, since we briefly brought up Avengers Doomsday, we don't get to see it. I don't fucking understand why, but I don't understand why you would release a trailer that everybody's like, okay, I'm excited, but like, and the special effects aren't great. And then everything coming out of San Diego was like, oh no, they showed us a different trailer and it's fucking amazing. And I'm like, but why would you do that? Why?
It's the weird hype machine. They think that they can go back 5 years or 10 years. They think they can go back 10 years and do an exclusive there and get here's the problem is that Marvel is thinking that they can go back to 2016 and do their 2016 thing, which I don't think that they realize how that doesn't work and how upsetting that is to a lot of people. And it just doesn't work. And so all you've done is created a bunch of like weird posts where I'm getting tired of, okay, how is it that we are in 2026? I'm almost 50 fucking years old and somebody cannot release a clear goddamn like spy trailer of what they showed at Comic-Con.
I also don't get that. I'm like, all these people there and all we can ever get is the blurry ass footage. Like it's taken from a fucking Samsung flip phone from 2005 or something. Like I don't understand why there's no better video, but I mean, whatever. I tried looking for something and I was like, I'm going to see it. I'll just wait. It would be nice to see the Doom stuff because apparently like it was astounding. So I wonder if part of the reason for not releasing it, to the general public is that there's things in the trailer that aren't explained about Doom. Like we know he's science and magic like that. Yeah. Like he is those two things get like, he fully uses both of those. So this whole, like he quote resurrects these Sentinels out of the ground to like attack the X-Men, that might not play to a general audience. It might just be confusing. Whereas like nerd culture is just like, oh, we understand that he would have both the magic and technical capabilities to do something like that.
But also, so like, I'm going to throw something to you, which is this. When have we ever not seen something in a trailer that wasn't explained that we just saw that was badass?
I agree. I'm trying to play devil's advocate and think of their like reasoning other than just like, we showed them the like fucking unfinished bullshit stuff. Here's some finished stuff that looks amazing for you guys that showed up and waited 2 days for Hall H. And
but again, that makes that to me is exactly what they're doing. They're on their 2016 bullshit again.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what they're doing. Like, they're thinking that they can get past Glory, which, I mean, yeah, in Hall H, everything looks amazing. Like, I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, everything in Hall H looks amazing.
I mean, you're there. You're already hyped. So, like, it's going to play. I mean, Universal that did Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah.
They thought that they were going to have... I think they did the same thing with Mallrats. They were like, holy shit, this movie played for these people. We're going to have a huge hit on our hands. And both of those movies... Mallrats bombed. I don't think Scott Pilgrim bombed, but it was not a hit.
Oh, so, no. It was not. It barely recouped its money. Like, they thought that they had American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Like and, that's literally what they thought.
And it just didn't play to a general audience. No. So, that aside, apparently, like, the people that, like, meaning, like, critically, the people that have been critical of Marvel that had press credentials for this panel saw the Doomsday footage and maybe didn't completely come around, but I there were a lot of, like, I think we might be okay, kind of, like, walkbacks. So post that, we got... you can see the rest of the panel. There's some stuff with, like, Ryan Reynolds coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
like,
the Canadian tuxedo.
He may or may not be in Doomsday. Like, everything I saw was like, oh, this proves that Ryan Reynolds is going to be playing Deadpool in Doomsday. It doesn't.
No.
It's just him. It was way more interesting seeing him dressed in the black Deadpool black suit walking around
Comic-Con.
In the suit, all that. People not knowing that's him. Like, to me, that's always, like, really heartwarming, you know? Like, I hope that those people wind up seeing the clips of themselves and being like, holy shit, I was talking to Ryan Reynolds. That's amazing. Yeah, that stuff's, like, fun, you know? Like, but it's not great. I think the Spaceballs panel did it better than the Marvel panel did this year. Mm-hmm. But then we got the two big announcements. One is that Black Panther 3 is coming. We've already mentioned that. And that we have a new Black Panther.
Yes.
And that Ryan Coogler is back for Black Panther 3, but while that seems to have been in doubt, it was never in doubt in my mind. I don't know how you move forward with that franchise without Coogler at least shepherding it, you know?
Yeah, because it is definitely not a Kevin Feige thing. The only thing that Kevin Feige asked for was the only note that Kevin Feige ever did was to make sure that Agent Ross was in it. Like, that's all. Like, it is not like that is not a Ryan Coogler. That is all Ryan Coogler, and Ryan Coogler going, really? Okay, I guess we're gonna have we can have Agent Ross in there. Yeah,
I really enjoy Ross in the Black. I like his. I like the way he feels in that story, like the fish out of water kind of thing.
Yeah,
he has going for him, especially in the first one. Like, I think he really, really plays well in the first one. So our new Black Panther is David Johnson, an actor we have. I haven't seen Industry. I've heard really, really great things, but. He was in two things. One that I loved, and I think you were kind of just so-so on, and one that we both absolutely loved. He was in the Long Walk last year, and then he was in the last Alien movie, which we both absolutely loved.
Yeah, and don't get it twisted. Like, he is, like, we both loved him in The Long Walk.
Yeah, he's probably the best part.
Oh yeah, he is the best part of that movie. Like, he is the absolute 150% best part of that movie. I just didn't like the ending. Like, I didn't like how they changed the story so intrinsically to
Ben Wayne's pretty good in it too.
Cooper Hoffman is good too. Like, they're all great. Like, the performances, it wasn't that I didn't love the performances. I loved the performances. It was just like the
ending. Yeah, what you do with the ending.
Yeah. That's where I lost that.
David Johnson, though, is, he's not at the Yaya level of like, oh, this guy's about to be a star. He's like maybe one step down for that, but Black Panther 3 might be it. Like,
yeah.
He might be, like, this could very well launch him. And honestly, it was a thing where, like, when I saw the announcement, I was like, that makes so much sense. I'm actually angry that we haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
And said, what about this guy as the next Black Panther? Because he's fucking great. Like, literally, I was reading it going like, we have talked about this dude twice in 2 years in two different films, and not one fucking time were we ever like, they should get him in the Black Panther. Like, he should be the new Black Panther because he could really carry that. And Ryan Coogler walks on stage and is like, yeah, I had a meeting. We like met and like talked for a really long time about 3 or 4 months ago. And I immediately called Kevin and was like, he's our guy. No doubt in my mind. And I was like, you said it, and there was no doubt in my fucking mind that he's your guy. Of course he's your guy. He's incredible.
Yes, and here's where, like, I feel like it's casting a great actor rather than a good-looking person that's on the rise. Like, I'm not saying that he's not good-looking. I mean, he's good-looking. But I do think that it's more I think we both said it after The Long Walk, which was, I think you said it more than I did. David Johnson is going to be an important actor. And that's literally like the same way you feel about the way that everybody felt about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. Like, he's got something about him that's like, it's really compelling to watch. Like, I'm compelled to watch this guy. Like, he in Alien Romulus, he plays a character who basically just has to show no emotion whatsoever and be like not compelling, you know? And he's fascinating in that movie. It is so just like, you're just drawn to that character and like, what is he going to do? And it's all him.
Yep. All him. Like, in Romulus, it's even higher because you're talking about a character, like, you're talking about the fact that he's playing an android and we're already sick and fucking tired of androids in Alien movies.
Yeah.
Like, Ridley Scott had done us a disservice by fucking just continually making Alien movies about, oh, I'm gonna make about androids, mate. Like, goddamn, dude, stop. Stop. You made two Alien movies too many, Ridley. Like, you really did. You never should have came back for Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
We didn't talk about this, but when Sigourney Weaver was doing press for Mandalorian and Grogu, and it came up about Alien, and she was like, yeah, we had a fifth movie ready to go, and Ridley was like, oh no, I'm going to go do something different with the franchise. Yep. Like, it could have sucked. Like, I don't think the fourth Alien movie is any good, really, at all. So maybe it would have been terrible, but considering like what we got from Ridley, knowing that they had something else with Ripley in mind, really just kind of pisses me off, but it is what it is. I'm also really excited to see the new Ridley Scott movie. So I think it looks pretty good, but we'll see.
It's a good, albeit very, very tiresome book. Like the book has, I've read the book, and if you've seen one post-apocalyptic, you've seen them all, and that's
it. Absolutely feels like, oh, this is every post-apocalyptic story. Like, there's currently a post-apocalyptic show on Hulu that I watch that, you know, it feels almost exactly like this, except without the big bunker in Colorado. But it still looks good. Anyway, so David Johnson, new Black Panther, Coogler's coming back, stage is getting set. They're talking, 2028, which means they'll be filming early next year, if not late this year, probably. Mm-hmm. So, which is great, because there's a lot of special effects. There's a lot of special effects work that goes into all this stuff. But specifically for Black Panther, I don't want that. I don't want those movies to look like shit.
Absolutely not.
I can almost forgive more in the Spider-Man realm than I could in the Black Panther realm. I don't need a fucking shiny, weird CGI'd Black Panther thing. I want it to look good. So the more lead time they have, the better. Hopefully the movie is, I don't doubt that it's going to be great. Even the second Black Panther movie, while it wasn't brilliant, it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
The other announcement we got at Comic-Con that I'm pretty sure has been they're going to announce this specific thing at Comic-Con has been said every year for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
We have a new Ghost Rider, and it is the guy that everybody said was going to play Ghost Rider for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, in the checkbox of obviousnessness, let's cast the whitest white dude that ever did white, but then also let's get the most obvious director that we can, because we need this to be a hit. We need Ghost Rider to be a hit. I'm just I don't mind. Okay, look, that is not to say that it isn't Sean Levy getting all of these, all of these things is not awesome. It also lets us know that Ryan Reynolds is probably going to be getting a new director for Deadpool, or for the fourth Deadpool movie, which is going to be interesting. Fine. That's fine. I mean, every single time there has been a new director.
Yeah.
If you think about it, every single time. And I don't think that has anything to do with, I don't think it's a creative thing where they're battling all the time. I think it's just that you're one and done with this because this is Ryan's character Ryan's,
You put your mark on it. You tell the story you want to tell, and then you move on. And it's kind of like directing. It's kind of like directing TV. Yeah. You come in, do a little bit of what you want to do, and then you just move on, because Ryan is the character. So, yep. And Ryan Reynolds, Gosling, we may be looking at that for Gosling, because despite I've seen a lot and listened to a lot of podcasts, people being Marvel just, wanted to get in the Ryan Gosling business, blah, blah, blah. Gosling's on record going years back as wanting to play Ghost Rider.
Yep.
He's talked about this.
But also, let's be honest, it is the easiest gig in the MCU. What? I'm going to have fake leather on and a bunch of dots on my face where... It's not even really dots on my face because it's a goddamn skull. This is made for Ryan Gosling are like, think about it. Like, Gosling is known, except for recently, he has been known as that dude that has a blank face, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what Ghost Rider's going to be, is a blank face. I mean, it's literally a flaming skull. You cannot animate a flaming skull all that much. I don't know.
If only they hadn't just fired almost the entire fucking special effects department.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, will this be a movie that we enjoy? Probably. The thing I'm most concerned about is, will this be a movie that looks good in the CGI department? Because they're not killing it in the CGI. So, so Sean Levy is going to be directing it. They just worked together with Starfighter, which we're going to see next year. Yeah. I think we probably both feel about the same way in regards to Sean Levy, a guy who can deliver movies we enjoy and can also deliver movies that we're like, yeah, what the fuck was that, man? We both enjoyed Deadpool Wolverine. I know I'm more partial to that movie than probably almost everybody, but we both enjoyed that movie. I think Real Steel is probably one of the best, like, not, like, people just don't talk about that movie, and it's really fucking good, yeah. You know?
I like that movie a lot because it's a shitty father-son movie. Like,
it's like over the top, right?
You know? But better. Yeah. Because like Hugh Jackman is underrated as playing a shitty human being because he's done it a lot. Like,
yeah.
I know that you hate, I know that you have, you don't, you have hate in your heart for Prestige, but he plays a super shitty human being in that movie. A super bad person. The Greatest Showman plays a super shitty human being.
Yeah.
Like, Wolverine is not a good person, especially in Logan and in, like, he plays, like, I don't think that people give him enough credit for playing flawed characters. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of fun, like, to think about that. Also, like, back to the Sean Levy thing. Like, I don't know why, but I really like the Night at the Museum films. They're funny. They're fun.
They're fun. The first one especially. Like, yeah. I get why you get the other, but the first one is a really fun movie. Like, I think Cheaper by the Dozen is a really good movie. But he's also delivered, like, the Pink Panther remake, which
yeah.
I know people enjoy, but... like, it's not good.
Date
nights are okay, you know?
but also, like you know, the internship Adam Project?
Is, oh, God, yeah, the internship. The internship is terrible. The Adam Project I didn't see, but it didn't look great. Free Guy is kind of just so-so, you know?
You know, actually, it's a lot better than I gave it credit for. It's not the best, but like, you know, you're right. Like, I think the one that you really should see, I know that you haven't seen yet, which is This Is Where I Leave You. It's actually,
I do want to see that. Like the cast of that movie just speaks like, oh, this should work. You mm-hmm. know,
it's good. It's really, it really is, like, it's a good movie. Like, it's not a great movie, it's a good movie. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, Big Fat Liar, I fucking find hilarious.
I haven't seen it since I was, it's probably since it, like, came out on TV or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw it as, not, I don't want to say as a kid, but might as well say as a kid.
Yeah.
In the whole, like, Frankie Muniz craze at mm-hmm. the time. But so, yeah, I don't really remember it. But yeah, I think it's important that, like, he can deliver a movie on time, on budget, and work with stars. Like, yeah. That's what's important to Marvel. Yeah. So we got to hope that the script is good.
Exactly. Well, and that's going to be the thing, is who are they going to hire to write it? And if they hire fucking McKenna and fucking Summers again, so, I'm going to fucking scream and refuse to watch it.
As of right now, the writer on the project is Jonathan Tropper.
I do not like that choice at all.
So I do not. Wrote the Adam Project.
and that's why.
He also wrote The Wrecking Crew. He writes on Your Friends and Neighbors. And he wrote for that series, Banshee. He might have been the creator. He is the creator of Lucky, though, which is a show that you're enjoying.
I'm enjoying it. Like, I just, like, and he partially wrote Starfighter, which, like, you know, makes me go, I mean, though I've heard.
He did write This Is Where I Leave You, which you just talked about. So.
Yes. But also, like, I heard that Starfighter was heavily rewritten by a couple of, more than a couple of people, including Christopher McQuarrie, which is why, like, Tom Cruise came on to set. Like, you know, which makes me feel like, Starfighter might be actually not bad. You know,
well, Tropper. I think he's the writer for now. Like, but in my mind, he's the writer right now because he has a working relationship with the director.
Yes,
and that's where that comes in. Once this is actually full on in the Marvel machine, somebody in the Marvel camp, probably a duo, is going to like take that script
and make it, Summers.
Yeah, and make it a Marvel movie. I'm not as contentious about them as you are, but I get it. So
well, they're like the new like I'm fucking tired of two white dudes that have fucking weird that have like obvious names like Marcus and McFeely. Fuck all of them, man. Like seriously, like I'm done with it because you know what it is? It's because it feels so fucking plug and play TV movie bullshit.
Yeah.
Like TV episode bullshit.
I mean, that's what it is. That's what they want, though. But, that's what they want.
But I want, like, okay, so, like, that's where, and we're going to get into that. Like, maybe I should just not talk about it right now. But I am hopeful for Ghost Rider to be a PG-13 bland blah 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 action movie. Like that's all it's going to be. I mean, like it.
I honestly, I don't want much from a Ghost Rider movie. It's got to look good. He's got to do some cool shit. Like the motorcycle needs to look cool. Like it. You do not have to like create some like world saving. Whatever shit, like he doesn't need to be stopping
Galactus,
yeah, or even like demons from hell or something. Like,
yeah,
just make it. Actually, don't make it so. Like, make it self-important. Make it about his journey, not him saving the fucking world. Not for the first time out, at least. Just you know, this guy makes a deal with the devil because of. You know, his dad or like the first part of the Nick Cage Ghost Rider, like the first half of that first movie is pretty fucking good.
I don't mind either one of them. Like the second one is insane. The second one is fucking insane. But the first one, yeah, I mean like that first part,
it's when it gets into like the crazier story of it that it kind of loses me. Like the real personal shit, I really, really enjoy. When like the younger stuff, and it's just when you get into like, oh, he's got to stop, you know, the devil's son from blah, this, blah, whatever. You kind of just lose me with it. It just has to look cool and make it his story, not him saving the world from, you know, some apocalypse or something.
This is true. Did you know, like, my favorite part about in 2007 when Ghost Rider opened on, like, Valentine's Day, it made $45 million, which is, like, the equivalent of, like, $90 million in adjusted dollars. That is insane. I love that. I love the fact that we were so starved for comic book movies that we made a Nick Cage Ghost Rider movie a huge box office success.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't want to say like a golden era, because like none of those movies were like excellent, but yeah. It was exciting. Whereas now we have such a glut that's what pisses me off when people are like, Supergirl's terrible. And I'm like, I want to give them the fucking Rutger Hauer speech, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, let me tell you what I've seen. Like,
exactly.
That movie's not terrible. Also, like, quick aside for Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to go back and watch. I can't wait to watch it again, because just last week I decided, you know what? I'm going to read the storyline that this movie's based on, because everybody raves about it. Mm-hmm. And I read it. And it's a very pretty story. And that's the best thing I can say about it. I don't fucking get it. I did not think it was very good.
I think I did read it, but I don't remember it. It's Tom King, right?
Yeah, which is wild, because like the few Tom King things I've read, I really, really enjoyed.
Like, yeah.
There's some shit in the story that like it really relied on you like kind of knowing like Supergirl. Like her history, like fucking Comet shows up, the fucking horse. And even better, the horse shows up to help save the day and turns back into a man. And if you don't know the story of Comet, the fucking super horse, and how he's actually a guy that turned into a horse and was in love with her, then guess what, man? They don't explain it to you, and it makes no fucking sense. Like people are talking about shit in the movie that didn't make sense. I was like, why is the fucking horse here? Like, I thought that was like one of the things in the super mythology that people were like, yeah, we're just not going to do the horse thing anymore. Like, it was weird, and we just won't bring up the horse at all. But maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, that book is not that great. It's very, very pretty. The movie actually improves on it in a lot of ways. So I'm excited to see it again. Anyway, point being, we've lived through bad superhero movies. Don't tell me that these are bad superhero movies. Could they be better? Yes. But from Ghost Rider, it needs to look good. And he needs to do some badass stuff. Like, that's kind of it, man. I think that was all the really, really big stuff at the Marvel panel. Shockingly, or maybe not shockingly, there was not really anything DC-wise.
Like, yeah. I get it.
Not even any, like news of, like, hey, guys, Creature Commando Season 2 out in November. Here's a clip. You know,
well, their big thing was lanterns, and we've not even talked about the lanterns trailer. I get now why they are pushing lanterns hard, is because this fucking thing costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
like, remember how like I was saying, I don't know, man, like if it's just grounded and we don't get to see shit in space, man, they were like, let's see the let's give them a taste of what we have. And I'm like, oh man, is this just going to be six episodes costing like $50 to $60 million a piece? And oh fuck yeah, that's what it is. I am very excited, though. I did want to ask you something. Why does it feel like, I think that you've read a lot more Green Lanterns than I have. Why does his Hal Jordan feel more like Kyle Rayner than, or like?
So I think that's just a, it happened with the Ryan Reynolds movie too. Like, his Hal Jordan was not really Hal Jordan. I don't think they can capture Hal Jordan on, like, everything they want to bring to movies or television or whatever to live action, Hal Jordan is not that character. He's not. No big Green Lantern fan's going to fucking listen to this. Hal Jordan is a boring ass character, man. He's not fun. He's not exciting. He's like maybe more so than Captain America and Superman. He is a fucking stick in the mud. Like, just,
he's a Dudley Do-Right.
The most exciting thing that ever happened to Hal Jordan was he lost his mind, went insane, became a bad guy, died, and then came back as the Spectre. Like, everything leading up to that, he was a test pilot. Like, Hal Jordan was, like, it's exciting because he was a test pilot. He finds the alien, becomes a Green Lantern, kind of just becomes a stick in the mud. And then, like, there's a reason why there was a stretch of time where it's like, we got to pair this guy with Green Arrow or anybody, because fuck, he's what? There's a reason there were more Green Lanterns, like, based on Earth besides Hal Jordan. He's not a great character to bring to cinema or television, or like, it maybe work in animation, but you still have to give him other lanterns to play off of, because ultimately he's just boring. Every other aspect, they just bring in a Kyle Rayner or some of Guy Gardner, or like, that's all it is, man. And so, yeah, I'm with you. This, it feels like Hal Jordan's origin story, but the character feels like Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, he really does. Like, because I grew up with Kyle Rayner, and what I never got from people was the hate for Kyle Rayner. Like, I was like, this dude's kind of like, he's a dick, but he's a kind of a realistic dick. He's a cop. Yeah. What do you expect from a fucking cop? I really love that second trailer because it's giving me everything that I kind of thought that it was supposed to be, but that first trailer was like, nightmare man, drug detective. Yeah. But this one is like, no, we're going to give you an R-rated, like, Lanterns show. And we're going to give you, like this one is like, we're going to give you this R-rated Lantern show, big sci-fi, some really cool fucking looks. It's a lot bigger than you thought it was. We're going to have Sinestro, but he's going to be Hannibal fucking Lecter behind a prison wall. Fuck, dude. And whoever that dude is, perfect casting. Perfect cat, like, with four lines, like, with like literally four lines. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? The prison. I mean, it just, like, I've watched enough animated series with the Lanterns. I've read enough Lanterns, not Green Lanterns, but like Lantern Corps, to know the world, but also to be like, okay, I know well enough to know that some of this stuff is not playing. And then, like, to have Nathan Fillion unleashed and be able to, like, be R-rated, like, Guy Gardner, like, I don't even know what that's going to be. Like, it looks very much like my jam. I'm very excited for it. This is going to be appointment television for me. I'm like, Aaron Pierre. I mean, like, let's be honest. Aaron Pierre, like, has been kind of working towards something like this. And so if he's our, and I mean, we've heard, right? Like, it was announced. Like, it's not just rumor anymore that he's in Man of Tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's in the Superman movie. Like, as is Millie Alcock as Supergirl. Like, everybody, like, it's a very Civil War-esque kind of, like, not Avengers movie, but, like, non-JLA movie.
Yeah, I don't want to say that Gunn kind of saw the writing on the wall, but I think Gunn was like, we've got to, like, he's taking a lot of flack for putting so many characters in Superman, but he's having to take, like, real shortcuts and also not make it feel like fucking, like, we're just dumping people in there.
Yeah, you know? Like Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
The Dawn of Martha. Dawn of Martha. Yeah, like three films to get to jail or to get to those kinds of it's smart to me, right? Because especially if you're bringing if you're bringing Brainiac into the situation, make it a Superman movie in name only, but also make it a JLA movie, because he's already had, he's the last three movies he's made, including Superman, like the last four movies, if you want to count Superman, his Superman movie, he deals with teams and team dynamics, right? So like having a big ensemble cast is not a big deal to him. And plus, I think his Superman is more interesting when he's bouncing off of people.
I agree. It's the Hal Jordan thing of it too.
Yeah.
I like Superman as a character. I've made this comparison before. It's Dr. Dre, man.
Yeah.
I like Dr. Dre. He's a great producer. Dre is really only exciting when he's with somebody else. Like, the solo stuff is fine, man. But when it's Dre and Snoop, or Dre and M, or Dre and Tupac, and like, that's when he's with somebody else. Even if it's his own shit, when somebody else is in there with him, it's like, this is fucking awesome. Like, California Love is better than every other song Dr. Dre has ever done where it's just Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's fucking awesome. And Superman's great, man. But I don't... It's funny because I'm going to say something really, really contrary to this in about 5 minutes when we talk about Spider-Man. I don't want to see Superman in a movie by himself. I just don't. Like, it's not fun to just have him only playing off Lois and Jimmy and like whoever the fucking bad guy is. The really fun thing in James Gunn's Superman was his dynamic with a massive amount of characters and seeing how he like handles all of that. It was fun to see him like even briefly with the Justice Gang stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy that. So I hope it's not an overload of characters in Man of Tomorrow, but I am excited that they're not scaling back, that it is going to be like that level of thing. And let's be honest, how many of these Marvel movies have we watched and thought, like, somebody has been like, well, where the fuck is this person in this movie?
Yeah. You know,
they even do it in Far From Home where he's like, why am I doing this? Why are the Avengers doing this? Or why isn't Iron Man, like, whatever, you know, well, it's not Iron Man in Far From Home because he's dead, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
He's like, why do I have to handle this? And Nick Fury has to tell him, well, they're off world. They're doing this. They're, you know, and James Gunn's DC Universe, it seems to be like, oh no, when they need help. Like, there's a specific scene in Superman where he's like, they've got that. You just see him battling that imp in the background. Like, it's one of the most fun scenes in the movie. So, anyway, the little DC corner. So, all right. So, let's talk about Spider-Man, because I don't think there was anything else. Like,
No.
Marvel-wise, at least out of Comic-Con. All right. So, Spider-Man, Brand New Day. You should expect us to spoil this movie. We have not texted about it. We both saw it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Spider-Man Brand New Day?
It's fine. It's good. Like, it's like, so of the Holland Spider-Man, it's like neck and neck with with No Way Home, or not No Way Home. What's the second
Homecoming?
One? Not Homecoming.
Far From Home.
Far From Home. It's neck and neck with Far From Home. It's a very busy film that I wish wasn't as busy as it was. Because I think it's at its best when it when it's sad boy Peter being sad, and it being like this kind of like longing, like I can't be around my friends kind of movie.
Isn't it weird that we kind of saw a similar Spider-Man movie not starring him,
and this
feels less stalker creepiest than that movie?
Well, because I mean, let's be honest, like the director of 500 Days of Summer doesn't know the doesn't know when to pull back on his protagonists. Yeah.
It helps that you don't have Peter following people in this movie. Mm-mm. He just happens to see Ned, and then he's like, I'm going to follow him and see, you know, like, he's not intentionally stalking them. He's digitally stalking them. but that's also just more in the, like you said, like, sad boy, like, longing for this life he cannot live. Tom Holland gives, this might be, I'm with you. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. It does not hit the highest highs. It's just a good Spider-Man movie. I think it's Tom Holland's best performance as Peter Parker, though.
Oh, it absolutely is. Like, it's the maturity of, like, I think I told somebody, this is, like, before it was Spider-Boy, this is Spider-Man. Yeah. This is where they got to Toby in part two that made Toby so good was that he, like, I mean, it did help that he was almost 30 when, like, they made the original movie. And then Spider-Man 2, they were like, let's jump 5 years and, like, thank fucking God. But it's this whole thing of, like, Spider-Man, like, on his own. And, like, and here's the thing for me. Spider-Man works the best when he is, like, Raimi knew, like there never been, like, I never understood why I loved Raimi's movies until the Amazing movies came out, and then until these ones, because I like how mean Raimi is to Toby's Peter.
Because, I mean, it's kind of relentless in those movies. Like, every time something can go wrong, it goes wrong. And
but that's life. That's Pete's life. If you read the comics in succession, like, I was recently reading a Ditko. I have an omnibus, and I finally decided to read it before this movie came out. Right, and the thing that I noticed that made me laugh the entire, it was a very funny, like, I forgot how funny Ditko and Lee could be, but it wasn't intentional. Because of how mean they are to Spidey and Pete. Yeah. Like, continually everything goes wrong. And it's like, if you read them all in an omnibus, it feels like the Raimi movies, where every single time something semi-okay happens, five bad things happen. But that's life. And that's Pete. Like, you know?
So to your point, I said I was going to say this in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're probably there. To your point, and I'm going to kind of be contrary here, but to your point, I said this to Steph in the theater at the end of the movie last night. I kind of miss Spider-Man movies that are just about
Spider-Man. Yep. That don't have to have assists by everybody. I don't. Okay, look.
We haven't had a Tom Holland solo Spider-Man film. Just haven't. The closest we got was No Way Home. And, like, there's a shit ton of villains in that movie and two other Spider-Men. Like, it's never just been Tom Holland Spider-Man. And the bummer of that is Tom Holland as Spider-Man in this movie, I think, probably could have carried everything. Like, in the other movies, maybe not. But here, I think so.
But also, like, my other biggest problem with this fucking movie written by McKenna and Summers, I fucking hate these guys. I don't hate them.
They have worked on every Spider-Man movie, though.
Tom Holland. And to be quite honest, they are the problem. They are the fucking problem. Because they are Marvel shills. And they are MC. They are the mouthpiece of Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige has his hands so far up both of their asses that all he has to do is fucking twitch his thumb and they will do whatever the fuck they want. But here's the problem is, okay, so like I have about, they're not complaints, but they are things that I feel like if Holland had his way, he would have been able to do them, which is this, is that I feel like this movie is a puzzle piece when the other movies didn't feel like puzzle pieces to the larger Marvel universe that I don't like. Like this had too many, like you, to your point, too many people and cameos in it that were trying to set up like, oh, don't forget about this person. Don't forget about that person. That I didn't like.
I do agree with that, but I do want to say this. I said I was going to be contrary. Here we go. I really, really enjoy the Punisher in this movie.
Okay, so I'm not saying, okay, like when I say that, I am not saying that every single person in this film isn't inspired to do great work. Like Bernthal as PG-13.
The way they play off each other is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Like you can tell that these are two actors that are absolutely friends with each other and have a good rapport, but just the characters themselves. Like I love a good coming in to the middle of a like story and it not feeling like you're lost. There's an established relationship here between these two characters and we don't know where that came from. And they're really, really good at carrying that part and not having you feel like lost in their story. Like they reference the Staten Island thing that they keep referencing?
The Staten Island thing.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. It's really funny. Like their argument with each other on the boat is fucking hysterical. Like as after they like tripped all of his traps and they're just like yelling over the top of each other and Zendaya's just like, what? What is happening? It's so much fun, but I do agree that like this movie could have been less busy with characters like that. I think Mark Ruffalo is a lot of fun as Banner in this movie for the few minutes we get. There's some like questionable Banner Hulk stuff with the when he's under the mind control.
Yes,
but the full on Hulk thing looks fucking great.
Oh yeah, no, that's amazing. Like, and like, here's my favorite part about this is that my favorite part about this movie is the interactions and not the comic book action-y stuff. It's the fact that I forgot how much I missed Banner for like the real Banner, not Hulk Banner.
Yeah.
Not Dr.
Hulk. Yeah, actually, just Bruce Banner, yeah.
Just Bruce. Just Bruce and how he gives so much to Tom Holland, especially when he's at first, he's like, man, these fucking kids at Empire State University, which,
gotta love,
I gotta get myself a hoodie, an ESU hoodie. But
it's pretty great.
But then when he meets Tom Holland, who gives the best stupid names to himself ever, but also when he realizes he's a like-minded nerd kid, but he's also fucking smart, and the way that Ruffalo lights up is like
so good, man. Like this movie really, really shines in all the really quiet moments.
Yes,
there's the Spider-Man in the apartment, like bullshitting with Ned and MJ. Yep. And like it's such a small moment, but it's so fun. Well, and just you feel for those characters, you know?
Absolutely. Or it's like his interactions with Yelena. Like it's,
oh, that stuff's so great, man. She, I love that she's just down for this role, and whatever small versions of her need to show up.
Well,
Florence Pugh just is like really, really embraced it, and I really appreciate that about her. But holy shit, she's stealing things in this movie. Like, she's just when she showed up and they cut away from her, I was like, I kind of wish she was going to be in the whole rest of the movie.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so like, did you hear about like how that happened? Because it wasn't going to happen. And then like a part of the concessions that Holland made, like he made a bunch of concessions about like being in the movie, right? Like he was going to be in the movie. And if he was going to do this movie, that they had to do it right, right? Like, that's all we heard. But one of the concessions was that he wanted specific people, like, he wanted to work with specific people from the MCU, and he wanted to bring them into his movie. Of course, the top of his list was Brenthal, and we see why. Another one was Ruffalo. He wanted Ruffalo because he was like, it's a counterpoint to Tony Stark, which makes absolute sense, right? Like, Tony is like the dick that doesn't listen to anything that you have to say, but Banner will listen, will let you talk his ear off, right? But then he was also like, I just want to work with Florence Pugh. He's like, I got to see her work in Dune, because I was on set for a couple of days when they were doing some stuff, and I just love her work and I want to work with her. And so he was like, these are non-negotiables. And they were like, well, as long as everybody says yes to it, we'll let you have them. And she was instantly like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. So they specifically wrote these things for her, but then she had input into it.
So that helps that story make sense, because it's kind of baffling. Like, and I'm less impressed by like the fact that they have a shared history that we don't know about. Like, that feels a little confusing.
Yeah.
Knowing that makes it make sense, because when he's like, I think I might know somebody, never in a million years did I think
it was Pugh. Oh no, absolutely like, not. You don't think
I thought it was Dr. Strange. I was like, absolutely. Oh, he's going to Strange. Like, because this is like some weird mind shit. So he's going to think, oh, I'll go see Dr. Strange. Never once was I just like, oh, he's going to see a fucking Black Widow. And then we see her and I'm like, what? Like, but my confusion is quickly like put to the side, because their interaction is so much fun. The like him getting undressed and just wearing the fucking mask, okay, and
underwear. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cute. It's so fun.
But also like, okay. So the thing that I love, like, and thank you, Tom Holland, that I love about this movie is that like, and I hope that he continues on with this, is that it's the promise that he made, like, when he started to make this movie, which he said, I want more of the video games, the Insomniac video games, to be a part of this movie. And I will tell you that first 5 minutes where we get 5 years in 5 minutes, right? Because that's literally what happens.
Yeah.
It's so, like, and even with Damage Control is not the Marvel Damage Control. It's the video game Damage Control. All of this stuff is very coded to the Insomniac games that I love, but also like, so here's the, like, and I love the fact that we get these 5 years that we don't really see, but are only in like an impression upon us. That's why we get the Yelena. That's why we get that's why we get Punisher or Frank. Yeah. I do like the fact that
we feel like he's been living his life
exactly
like, to the best of his ability, even if it's like his relationship with another one, his relationship with DeWolf, which played by Aliza Colon-Zayas, who we fucking love.
Oh, we love her. Yeah. We love her. And like, and when is her husband going to show up in this universe? Like,
yeah, that would have been, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, that would have been so great. She,
as the husband, as the husband, yeah, again, right? Because she has two kids, which,
yeah,
like, you know, that's a, but anyways, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
She's so great in the movie. She doesn't get a lot to do, but like, she's a lot of fun. Like, you get that she cares about him, you know, like she's just this
she's a mother figure
that he lost when May died. Like, it's really, really sweet, and that like I said, this movie shines in the small character moments. Some of the bigger plot elements, I think, absolutely fucking, like, even in an MCU standpoint, make no fucking sense, man. Like, just like, if it wasn't so good at all of the other things, I would sit here and just rip this movie apart for like the changing of Spider-Man from like just all the spider DNA shit, his eyes turning black, the organic web shooters, the like, why? Why any of that? It makes no sense, man.
So I have a theory, and I don't think you're going to like this, but I think that they are worried about X-Men, and he is going to make a very big appearance in X-Men.
I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but.
But also, like,
why like this? Like, why?
Because you have to.
Why have him do this whole like, am I a mutant thing? Like,
because you have to start it somewhere, and yeah, this is typical. Like, again, I hate using this, but this is typical Kevin Feige through Summers and McKenna bullshit. That, like it makes sense to me when I look at it and go, oh, these fuckwits are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, which is lay groundwork. Like, that's the one thing I hate about this movie, is that it lays so much groundwork, because this also explains away Hulk. So if you don't have Hulk in Doomsday, it's because he's in a mental institution.
Yeah, or on the raft.
Exactly. Wherever. Like, fuck you guys. Really? Really? So we're going to handicap, like, literally when I saw him, it literally feels like Ditko and Lee circa 1964 going, well, let's just put him out of here so that it can make sense. And at the time it was like, right. It was like, you know, oh my God, how ingenious of them of putting him into an insane asylum. Or in the raft, where he's now like anti-gamma inhibitor, yada yada yada. But it was just an excuse so they didn't have like super strong Hulk like be able to beat the shit out of fucking Dr. Doom, right?
Yeah.
Like, but now it's stupid. It's just stupid, because you literally have a newscaster go, "Oh, she needs to go to enter to defend of her." Like, shut up, really. Like, fuck you guys. Like, especially after how nice you wrote, like, how great of a part it is that he is in the movie. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's like, that's the kind of stuff in this movie that made me like scratch my head and go, shut up. Why are you doing this? Why can't it just be a Spider-Man movie? Why can't it just be Joel Spiderman?
There's so much shit, like convoluted, unnecessarily convoluted shit in the movie. With some of the characters that I like, if I thought about it for more than, you know, 5 seconds, I would probably like convince myself I hated the movie, because it's so frustratingly stupid. Like, why even add that to the movie? But like I said, it's the quiet moments with the characters, or just the character interactions, that the movie really shines and kind of helps gloss over that dumb shit. Some of which is the villains in the movie. So let's just get to the villains. There's not as many villains as we thought there was going to be in this movie. Most of it is just cameos.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the one that gets maybe the shortest shrift as far as like an actor we know is Marvin Jones's Tombstone.
Yeah, he gets it's just an appearance.
Yeah.
Like, just literally, like, an appearance. I mean, like, well, like, him and Boomerang are literally just, like, a shot.
Yeah, honestly, if you're not paying attention, you can't even see Boomerang.
Well, like,
you see a Boomerang.
Wasn't Negative Man supposed to show up? I didn't see him.
No, I think that was a lot of internet rumors.
Okay. That makes sense.
Tarantula gets that one like scene where like his foot claw is like it's that cover. But I don't even know if we know. That's like that was probably just a stunt actor. Like,
yeah,
Marvin Jones, I think was brought in because he was Tombstone in Spider-Verse.
Exactly. So,
I think that was like, hey, will you come do this one day on set? And like, he's just probably that guy. I love him as an actor. Like, he's so great. I think I was one of six people that watched Black Lightning on CW. and he was so fucking good as like the bad guy in that show. I really, really enjoy him as an actor. He's perfect for Tombstone. It's kind of a shame that we don't get to see him do, you know, more stuff in this, but you know, it is what it is. That's kind of disappointing. The Scorpion gets a little bit bigger part, but really not as much as we thought he was going to get.
No.
We love Michael Mando. It was really cool to see him in the Scorpion outfit. I think they do a good job with making the Scorpion outfit not look fucking stupid.
No, and it looked like, again, a homage to the Insomniac games. It looks like the Scorpion from Insomniac in a lot of ways. But also, like, we love Michael Mando from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, but he brings that kind of energy, the kind of like at first it's like kind of like the dangerous energy, but then you start to see that it's something else that's going on. And like, credit to Michael Mando, because like, and credit to a lot of the other performers in this movie, they do, especially John Bernthal, when you know which moment I'm talking about, when he gets possessed.
Yeah,
the way that they move, like
that whole that's acting every time. It's not a special effect. That whatever they did, whatever, like, as a company, talked about like what that would look like. Every single person nails it, from like the day players to the like big stars, and Michael Mando deserves better. Like, this is a guy I've loved. I mean, you talk about those things. Yes, all those things. The first thing I remember seeing Michael Mando in and going like, I love this guy, is Orphan Black. He played a character named Vic.
Oh, that's right.
And Orphan Black. And he was just so much fucking fun in that show. It's a shame they don't do more with him. I think the fight between him and Spider-Man is fantastic.
It's absolutely
one of the better action scenes in the movie, for sure. It just sucks that he is still kind of a sidelined villain for who winds up being the main villain of the movie. Well, maybe not the main villain, but who they want you to think is the main villain of the movie.
Like, at first I was not down with this. Like, I was not down with the sickness.
We've been talking about this for it's almost 8 months now.
Yeah.
We've been talking about who Sadie Sink is playing in Spider-Man Brand New Day. And, hey, I was wrong. Everybody was right.
Yeah. Well, it's the Andrew Garfield of it all, right? Like, yeah. Like, it's the worst kept secret, right? And, like I told you, it got ruined for me early on. Because somebody had given me a very contextual text that made me go, fuck, if this is not them not telling me. And what they were talking about was like the fact that her sister Sarah and her have a flashback. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh man, that really does seal it up. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Like, when I saw that text, I looked at it for like a minute and I'm like, you asshole. Like, why would you think that I was at that? Why did you think that I was at the second premiere? Like, I never have gone to a premiere before. Why would you think this? But go with me on this. I kind of like, at the end of the day, I like the use of her.
I do too.
Because it sets up her as a dangerous entity. From the jump, exactly. The only thing I don't like is if you are going to let her go away on her own, I need to see that Xavier is there, that she is welcomed with open arms by Xavier, so that we know that she's in a safe place for the time being.
I really, really expected Miss Marvel to show up.
That would make sense.
Like, as I know somebody who is also a mutant. Like,
yeah,
you know, something like that. But it didn't happen.
No.
So yeah. I mean, Jean Grey is, for a good chunk of the movie, the big bad of the movie. Sadie Sink is playing Jean Grey. She gives, I think, probably the best performance of this character on screen that we've ever seen.
Yeah, because she's a teenager.
Yeah.
Because she's a teenager. Like, and it feels like she's a teenager. Like, this is the first person that I feel like, and here's where I feel like this is going to be, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is where they're going to be able to have Holland stretch out his time as Spider-Man is in the X-Men universe. And that's how they're going to get their peanut butter with their chocolate. And I feel like he is going to be because of what ends up happening inside of his head, they're going to be connected in a way that I feel like is going to allow Holland to be like some kind of like almost like a teacher. Like, I now can kind of see the plan here, which is that Young Avengers was never going to happen, but X-Men is going to take the place of Young Avengers, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we're never going to get the young Avengers. We're just going to get the X-Men. And we're going to get seemingly a lot of young adult / teen X-Men. And that's great. Like,
yeah,
these fucking 35-year-olds as like seeing these characters as full-on adults. It's like, I'm kind of over it. I'm really excited for what this could be, but the bummer is like we're still like 5 years away from all that.
We could be like, I don't know. Like, I
mean, do you think there's more in place that we just don't know about?
I think so. I honestly think so. I think that they're so focused on, like, we're so focused on Doomsday that we don't see the other things that are in play right now, even though they've been announced, even though Waldron isn't Waldron writing for Schefter of the X-Men movie.
I think so.
That was written. So it's in play. I will be very interested in seeing the, like, next year. I won't be surprised if next year, like, the entire the cast gets announced and we're looking at a 2028 or 2029. End of 2028 to beginning of to somewhere in 2029, like say May of 2029 being the first one. Because that gives you enough time to get the cast together, because you have to get the cast, right? Like you have to get it right. And here's the thing. Like, we probably already are probably I'm thinking that they're trying to figure out how whatchamacallit plays out, how Secret Wars plays out, to kind of get, like, they haven't written it, and so trying to get
I hope that that's just I don't know. I was so impressed with the characterization of Jean in this movie and the performance of Sadie Sink that I now don't want Secret Wars to be this, like, soft launch of the X-Men and, like, become like this half-assed, like, oh, here's just a bunch of characters. I now really kind of just want a slow roll build X-Men, because, like, for all the, like, shit I was like, the script bothers me. The one question about the X-Men is that in a world of, like, this MCU that has kind of sort of readily accepted superheroes, the one thing about the X-Men has always been, like, protecting a world that hates and fears them. And, like, it's a metaphor for, like, homophobia, racism, like, all of that stuff.
But
how do you do that in this world where it's like, oh, I mean, yeah, we're divided on, like, superhero identities, but, like, superheroes are a thing, and I guess we just accept them.
Yeah, but superheroes are different than mutants, right?
But what I'm saying is, like, in this world where they didn't come up together, how do you do that? And this is how you do that. I, like, for all my problems with the script, I really think they did a good job of, like, oh, hey, you could easily do, like, have J. Jonah Jameson, like, break this story of, like, this new breed of, like, quote unquote, or not even here, like, she is a villain in this. And, like, oh, and these new villains, they're mutants. They're not heroes. They're, like, they have powers. They're extremely dangerous. They're not here to save us. They're here to try to control us. Like, that's how you do that. And starting with her and making her volatile from the jump is a really, really good move.
Absolutely. And even have somebody and then you see, like, how perfectly executed Frank is. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as Frank, like, you know exactly what Frank is going to do. Like, you know what I actually had a picture of was, like, as soon as he was like, I have something, I was like, oh shit, this is Spider-Man 181. Like the Punisher appearance. Like, I was like, there's going to be a fucking rifle. Like, that's literally what this is. He's going to fucking shoot Spider. And good to their MCU loving, like, comic book loving, like, references, they literally do that. But also, like, it makes it so, like, you know that Frank is even going, like, this person is dangerous.
Yeah.
But also, you get the one person where you go, that makes sense. Frank would totally fucking shoot a little girl. It doesn't matter.
Oh, to him. Yeah, absolutely. And I like
PG-13, but,
like, they muzzle him, like, mouth-wise a little bit, but they do not back away from, like, who the character is. He's like, if you can't handle this your way, and I will handle it my way, and you know what my way is. Like, yeah, you know, I appreciated that they did not back away from that. As somebody who's so vehemently against, like, don't let it be Jean Grey. This is not how you bring her into the MCU. Like, I was wrong, man. Like, it was really well executed. I don't think they get her power set exactly right. Like, it's a little weird, like, calling it jumping and, like...
But it's the beginning of it, right?
Right. And then you do that, like, push her to the edge. And then, yep. Then it's like, oh, wait, no, it's she's also telekinetic, which is, it's kind of funny. Like, I think her being telekinetic and telepathic really only comes from the fact that they confused the two early on in her writing, and she could just do both things. And yeah. They're like, oh, shit, that's two different power sets. But... like how it's progressed in that character and how it's done here, I really, really loved. I do think it's kind of weird that you basically condensed a lot of the plot of Stranger Things past Sadie Sink. Yeah. and then do like that version of it.
But also like what I love is that, so like, her, like, as soon as I saw her, she's like the best actress in all of those kids. Yeah,
she really is.
Like, I kind of love the fact that she's going to get a second career while meanwhile these little fucking shitheads are all like, including what, like, including the other, like, I'm not a biggest fan of Millie Bobby Brown, but like, literally she's going to have a career that's going to eclipse them all. And it's like, yeah, maybe not cast Henry Cavill next time and bring Cavill back into Enola Holmes 3. Seriously? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, you're not as big a star as you think you are. Because you did, I don't know. It's just, it's funny to me. But also, like, she's, like, she, like, sometimes the most obvious casting is, like, the best casting. And there's a reason why we all thought this. And it was like, Jesus Christ, she's, like, the best, like, she, yeah,
that's been where the MCU shines above everything, is they seem to have always really, really cast well. Like, yeah, sometimes maybe not, but like, in even when they recast well. And yeah, she's absolutely perfect as Jean Grey. They nailed it. I really, really like the way she plays in, like, how it comes off. I really, really like it. I wish that instead of heading into Doomsday and Secret War, we were just heading into, like, another phase of the MCU, and, like, Sadie Sink, like, we had a movie coming out next year that focused on, like, Sadie Sink as Jean Grey and, like, this burgeoning, like, mutant population. Like, in another world, the Marvels was a better movie. Miss Marvel becomes a bigger character. And, like, you get this burgeoning mutant thing going on. And then we're hard launching the X-Men in 2028, you know? And that's probably just not happening. So.
No. No, it's not, but it's not a, like, you know, like, it's like, I looked at it and I'm like, you know what, maybe it gives them the lead in time, the 2 or 3 year lead in time, because everything before this has been like, let's be honest, like, this is probably a bit of luck for them. This is not calculated. This is just a bit of luck. Sure. that it worked out this way. Why don't you give, like, the lead in time? Because, you know, like, okay, so, like, this is their golden goose, right? Like, because, like, what is this, phase five? If yeah. Phase five is truly bringing, like, you know, using damage control as the ice villains to X-Men, that eventually will, like, you know, get X-Men, X-Factor, X-Force. I mean, that's why they're keeping Ryan Reynolds around, is because X-Force, right? Yeah. Like, they're gonna make him do an X-Force movie. I mean, we already know it. It's gonna be a PG-13, $200 million big budget movie starring Ryan Reynolds and a bunch of different people, right? They're gonna recast Cable, they're gonna recast everybody, but that's okay. That is a bummer. But then again, you know, Josh Brolin is a little troubling. Yeah. I like, you know, I like I like I don't know if you heard, but I mean, I heard about the rumors of the drinking on set. And yeah. So, like, you know, which made it a both a difficult, but also probably a pretty good thing because of the tension, right, between the two. But also, like, you kind of do need to recast. I mean, you need to recast at least slightly younger, right?
I mean, at this point, it needs to be all new X-Men, you know?
Yeah.
Real quickly, that the actual villain of the piece is William Metzger, played by Tremel Tillman, who is... he's not a scene stealer in this movie, but like the guy's just a really good actor, you know?
Yeah,
it's just like you want to believe him, but like you don't really trust him, you know, the whole time. I think he's not doing anything different here than he does in
Severance,
but he's doing it really, really well, you know?
And also, like, the thing is that this is now two big franchises that he's just kind of slipped into and just stolen scenes. I want a whole entire side movie with his character from the Mission Impossible movies, the submarine captain. Like, you know, his opening moment, like, just lets you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to steal things from Tom Cruise. I'm going to steal this entire section. And you know what? I really should be like, I should be in a Star Trek movie or something as a captain because I own this fucking thing. Now that we know he's set up, like he's kind of great because you know that he's going to be coming. Like, I feel like he's going to be coming back in the X-Men movies.
He doesn't go anywhere. Like it doesn't do the thing that superhero movies tend to do, which is, you know, like make the villain go away and like, oh, well, we're not going to get this again.
So I have to ask, do we think that like at this point, do we think that there is a Senator Kelly?
I mean, in that universe? That would be cool. Like to start we're not going to get any like regular MCU movies between now and fucking Secret War. But that would be kind of cool to like start playing. I wish they had been like planting stuff like that into other movies.
But like this
they've
one.
Also, yeah. Or even in the TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, but they've been, you know, kind of scrambling. I do want to bring up one more thing that I think is really, really stupid and absolutely pointless in this movie. Mm-hmm. You could have figured something else out or just had them be like the armed guards. There's no reason for the hand to be in this movie. It's kind of dumb. They look weird walking around in their hand outfits as everybody else is. It's just weird. And you get to have the little like ninja fighting moments. That scene is really cool when he like embraces everything and like takes on the ninjas and is fighting in that little little bitty room, that high room with them, and they're like running around. It is pretty cool, but like if you're gonna have him fight the hand, do it with the like the clips at the beginning of the movie and show us shit like that. And it just looks weird that there's like people in like bright red ninja garb hanging out in the fucking office. It's like it doesn't come off as comedy. It just comes off as like cheesy and weird. So but yeah, all in all, like a good fun movie that really, really works in the small moments. Like it really fucking works.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost even better than it does in the big moments. Since we're at the end, I have to ask about so I was actually confused by the post.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I was going to, let's wrap up by talking about this post-credit sequence. Yeah. So it's a nothing post-credit sequence that basically just tells you the next time you're going to see Spider-Man, he's not going to be on Earth.
Okay, that's what
that means. At least not our Earth.
Yeah. Okay, that's what that means. Okay, because I was not understanding it at all. Like, I was like, what the fuck does this even mean? Like, what does this even mean? Like, does that mean the symbiote is around? Does that mean that, like, what does this mean? Like, tell me, please. So, like, I was like, gotta write this down and make sure that I talk to Logan about this. Okay.
Ultimately, what I think it means is that Tom Holland's not going to be a big part of Avengers Doomsday, but Tom Holland is going to be a big part of Avengers Secret War.
So. Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Which actually gives me a lot more hope for Doomsday, because we know the cast is so big, but hopefully most of that movie will just be about the characters, like, that Doom would actually be kind of seeking out, you know, the Fantastic Four, like, Doom would not be interested in, like, doing anything with Spider-Man, you know, unless Spider-Man was, like, trying to stop him. Like, that's not a character. Like, that's one of the weirdest things in Spider-Man comics, which it's comics and you just have people showing up to show up. But, like, when Thanos would show up and fight Spider-Man, it would just be like, but why? Why is Thanos fighting Spider-Man? Like, why is Doctor Doom fighting? Unless Doom is, like, holding some kind of, like, thing in New York City. Like, why the fuck is he fighting Spider-Man? Like if Spider-Man goes to Doom, that's one thing. But it's the whole, like, you know, you don't concern yourself with ants. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that whole
X-Men, thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is the apocalypse mentality of, like, like, you're ants. I step on you. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to fight fucking Spider-Man just for the hell of it. So it's so weird. That gives me a lot of hope that, like, Doom is going to be, it is going to be more focused on, like, the actual heavy hitters and not just the popular characters. So, that will be Fantastic Four, X-Men, and, like, some of the Avengers. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's, I think that's all that post-credit sequence is really saying. Okay. So,
because I was like, does it mean the symbiote is coming because it's outer space?
So the symbiote suit first appeared in Secret War. Like, that's where he gets the suit.
The suit. I remember that. That's why I was asking, like,
that would be really, really interesting to have Spider-Man come back from Avengers Secret War with a black suit. That would be really interesting.
Because, like, also, like, Holland has said that he really wants the symbiote to be a part of his, like, you know, that he knew that Raimi didn't like it and it was forced upon him. And he feels that because he wants it there, that he could do a better version of it, which I'm not opposed to.
I'm not opposed either. Like, I really thought we were going to see it introduced in this movie. I know a lot of people did with this whole, like, spider changing thing, which, again, I say, didn't need to be in this movie if you're eventually going to introduce the symbiote, because that's where you go with that. But
yes,
whatever. Yeah, it's kind of cool, but it also means that, like, we're probably not going to see a shit ton of Spider-Man again until Secret War.
But also, like, don't we think that, like, maybe this is kind of a good thing, because we should miss Peter for a while, and we should miss Tom
Holland. I agree. Actually, the one thing at the end that we didn't talk about is, so Ned remembered?
Yeah, well, that's what, okay, so here's the thing, is that I think that, so, like, there's the great part about, like, her having that moment with
where she's possessed and you think she's like, I knew, I was like, you're talking about them being mean, I was like, I knew that was turning. And oh, this is so mean, man. Like, this is such a, like, beautiful moment, and it's just like, yeah, it's not really her, but yeah, so yeah, go on.
But what I think is what I think will happen, and maybe in the next one, is when they do their first kiss, it's going to come back. Because if Ned remembered by the handshake,
yeah,
I think that that's what unlocks it. Is because remember, they also very, very, very pointedly, even though they're burying it in plot, where she was like, "I don't remember anything," because he's like, "I have to be honest with you, full consent. I kissed you without your consent because I didn't know." Like, and then she's like, "Well, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all." And then that's where they go, "Oh, well, he remembered Sarah."
Yeah.
And when she was in his mind, but like everybody else blacked out. I think that that's the key to everything. And then when we get another Spider-Man movie with them and they kiss, it's gonna lead up to everything at the end. Like, so like how this one ends with Ned and Ned remembers, everything's going to lead up to the end of her kissing and then her remembering everything about Peter.
Yeah.
Which,
that makes sense.
Which will probably be one of the like last Spider-Man movie that they do. Because why end it with Spider-Man being married, especially if like, you know, if we're going to get Peter 1, like he's not really Peter 1. We all know who real Peter 1 is. If we're going to get Toby and if we're going to get a view of his life in Secret Wars, if he's coming back or if he's even in Doomsday, we don't know this. I mean, just conjecture, but we might actually see married Peter. And if we already see married Peter there, there's no need to see married Peter like from Holland, right?
Yeah.
Like they're doing that thing. But anywho, that was the interesting wrinkle of it all, was that he remembered him.
I was like, okay. Like, I probably would have ended it with just a look and not having him say Peter. And with, you know, and just kind of leave people hanging. But
yeah,
you know, it was sweet. Next week, we haven't talked about this. I think the only thing I'm going to see, I know that this is not really something that, you know, you'd think I'm going to see, but we're going to see Super Troopers 3.
Okay.
So I'm weirdly, I don't want to say excited, but like, I don't know. I do sometimes love a big, goofy, stupid comedy. So, those guys, even when they're not great, I just love that they're having fun. So
I was really hoping it was going to go to Hulu. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you.
It would be great if I didn't have to go see it in theaters, but you know.
But I figure that we're going to be talking Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso's back. Yep. So we'll probably do a lot on Ted and maybe some other, you know, catch up stuff here and there.
Yeah,
so.
Because we haven't talked, like, we, even though as much as we've talked about Marvel, we left out X-Men, which I'm actually a little behind on, but has been just kind of brilliant so far.
Yeah, we talked about that some last week. So.
Some, a little bit. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, there's a lot of other TV that like, but especially Ted Lasso is like the big thing, which is a huge thing. So we'll be back with that and a lot of other stuff probably.
Yeah. Until then, go check out everything else we do over at xwingfiles.com or our written work over at Adam's website.
Yeah, the movieisle.com, where right now I am in the midst of covering Fantasia Film Festival, the Canadian Asian or the Canadian Genre Festival. I will finish that up and have the little bit of downtime before another festival, hopefully, that I'm being accredited for. But I'll tell you more about that next week because I should hear more about that. But then we also have, of course, something that we have not talked about. We have football coming up. Which everybody's favorite segment, Adam and Logan talk like they're sports podcasters and talk about football.
Yeah, man,
It's gonna be rough for you guys this year.
It's a really rough year. So I thought last year was rough. This year's gonna be way worse.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Number two.
comics. Number 3, Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. Number 4, Mario. Number 5, Weird Al. Number 6, Batman. Number 7, Cal. Number 8, The Simpsons. Number 9, TV. Number 10, every single band that has stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out. Say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds Room.